Welcome to another message. We're talking about the subject of escaping Catholicism. Escaping Catholicism. On buildings, there is a sign that says exit on many public buildings. Catholicism is a prison of superstition and mythology. It is a religion of superstition and mythology. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse number 15, it says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? Even so, every tree that bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And so then, you will know them by their deeds and by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many shall say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, you that practice lawlessness.'" The Word of God, Jesus said that until the preaching of John was the law. But after John started preaching the gospel of the kingdom and saying, "Look for the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world," ever since then, the kingdom of God has suffered violence, first by Judaism, then by Catholicism, and then by Islam. Catholicism and Islam have done more damage to God's word and to God's people than anything. The Catholic Church killed between 50 and 100 million Christians. Islam has killed much more, 270 plus million Christians. Let's go to the Word of God. We've read this. Now let's go over to the book of Acts, the 2nd chapter.
Book of what?
The book of Acts, the 2nd chapter, Acts chapter 2. And Sharon, this is especially for you also. Acts, the 2nd chapter. And Peter is preaching to thousands of people. 4 and verse number 34. For it was not David who ascended into heaven, but he himself said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit down at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let the house of Israel know this for certain, that God made him both Lord and Christ, that Jesus whom you crucified." Israel crucified Jesus. It wasn't Roman government. Pontius Pilate tried to turn him loose. Israel, the nation of Israel, demanded the crucifixion of her Messiah. Now, when they heard this, they were pierced and stabbed down in their hearts. And Peter said to the rest of the apostles, "Brethren," or they said to Peter, "Brethren, what must we do?" And Peter said to them, number one, repent. Repent. Now, he uses the word there in the plural. You all repent. "And or but, let each one of you that has repented be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, it says in most translations, "for the forgiveness of sins." Baptism is not a vehicle of grace. The little Greek preposition here is eis, page 119 in the Analytical Greek Lexicon. And the grammatical idea of this is extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. It can go forward or backwards. Here it goes backwards. You're baptized because of the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Baptism is by immersion. By the way, it's bapto or baptizo. Baptizo means to immerse. Now, our word immerse in the English came from the Latin mergio. Immerse. We are immersed in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Immersed. Now, baptism is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Sprinkling and pouring does not do that. Now, we talk about baptism. We got up here about to 300 A.D., somewhere around there. By 325 A.D., baptism had become a law. The word rontizo means to sprinkle. If the Lord wanted a baby sprinkled, or somebody sprinkled, anybody, they would have used the word rontizo, but he didn't. Now, some people poured water on babies and on people when they baptized them. That's not baptism either. That is nipto. Baptizo, immerse, nipto, pour, rontizo, sprinkle. Those are the Greek words for those things. Now, the Bible talks about one thing about baptism. It talks about believers' baptism. We're going to go through here and we're going to talk about these different doctrines. Tonight, it is scriptural baptism or immersion or the rejection of infant baptism. Rejection of infant baptism. Infant baptism does violence to the scriptures. Sprinkling does violence to the scriptures. It changes the mode. Pouring does violence to the scriptures because it changes the mode. Infant baptism is not a scriptural command. No place in the Bible you're going to find out where the Bible tells you to baptize babies or infants. Now, there is an old saying, if the Bible doesn't say anything about it, then it is forbidden. Infant baptism was not practiced by the early churches until we come up all the way to the Catholic Church, the Church Catholic by Constantine. Why did they start baptizing babies? Why? Well, we have a fallacy there in this. Everybody, that every time a baby is baptized, it has to have a godmother and a godfather. You people out there, they're pedo-baptists. You have a godmother and a godfather because when you were baptized as a baby, you couldn't believe. You couldn't believe. So somebody said they believed in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost for you. You have a godmother, a godfather. That was the beginning of the godmothers and godfathers. I think when Luther left the Catholic Church, Luther was a Catholic priest. He baptized a lot of babies. Luther and Calvin both had one problem that they brought with them out of Catholicism. And that was infant baptism. Infant baptism. And the idea of the church and the state. Luther said in several occasions that he didn't believe it, that church membership and a church attendance should be demanded or enforced. Now, Calvin tried to do that. He tried to build up the city of God, so to speak. Infant baptism, as we practice today, is an absolute sin. It's a sin. Infant baptism is doing violence to the Word of God and to the children that are baptized. In the Catholic Church, little children are baptized. They have godmothers and godfathers. And the Catholic Church teaches that baptism, the sprinkling, not even the right form. Now, the Catholic Church did practice baptism by immersion. King Henry VIII was immersed, even. They practice immersion. They will accept immersion as baptism. The Catholic Church baptizes 1,000 babies. And the babies have the children as they grow up have a false sense of security because they're members of the Church Catholic because they have been baptized when they were babies. That does violence to their souls. I try to preach an intelligent belief, an intelligent God made man intelligent. We think. I've always taught people when they come into the church where I pastor to don't leave their head outside. Bring it with them. Bring their brain right in there and sit down here. Now, in my ministry, I have made two great advances. I have been instrumental in preaching to and seeing at least 500 to 1,000 Catholics converted to Christianity. The Catholic Church is not Christian. The Catholic Church is not part of Christianity. It is doing violence to Christianity. The Catholic Church, all the years that it was in tremendous power, killed between 50 and 100 Christians. The Luther, even as great of a preacher that Martin Luther was, they killed Anabaptists as heretics because it was the state church. John Calvin did the same thing. The state churches, they enforced their religion by the sword. Many of Luther's sermons were great vehicles of grace. And so were John Calvin's. But they went wrong. They began what is called the Reformation. The Reformation, I believe, is still going on. Baptists were never part of the Reformation. They were never Protestants. The Reformation was Protestant. They protested the Catholic Church and went out of it. And they tried, John Calvin and Martin Luther tried to reform the Catholic Church. They believed that they tried to save the Catholic Church and bring it back to God. Erasmus tried to bring the Catholic Church in his day back to God and back to the Word of God. He tried. The Catholic Church denounced him. He was always a believer, but he believed they ought to preach the Bible instead of the dogmas of the Catholic Church. Tradition is not always true scriptural practice. Tradition really has very poor hermeneutics. The Catholic Church put the Bible under tradition. The Bible was forbidden by the laity to read it because if they read the Bible, then they wouldn't be Catholics. If you read your Bible today, people, you won't be Catholics. You'll be born again by the Spirit of God. And if you've been baptized and sprinkled as a baby, you need to be baptized because you weren't baptized at all, period. That's what the term Anabaptist means. The Waldenses, the Mennonites, the Paulicians, the Bogomils, and Rishams. All of these, the Catarines, the Cathari, the Patarines, the Puritans, the Novatians, these people preached the Word of God. Now, let me say this one thing. And this is one thing that Baptists are guilty of. Baptists believe that that they have carried on the true line of faith all the way down through history. Some of them say, literally, church by church, you can trace it all back to the way of Christ. That is not true. Yes, Baptists believe what the early churches, all early churches were Baptists. All early churches were Baptists in faith and practice. St. Patrick was a Baptist. St. Patrick went from England, the British Isles, was captured as a young boy by Irish pirates. He escaped after several years, went back. And he told his church there that he felt he had a calling to go back to Ireland and preach. He went back to Ireland, he preached. He established 365 churches, he established seminaries. He ordained elders in every church, pastors and deacons. St. Patrick was a Baptist. He taught the churches democratic rule in each church, but yet they cooperated each other in the association of churches, and they had seminaries. The Catholic Church canonized Patrick. I imagine he flipped over in his grave like a twirly, because he fought him at that time in his life. The Catholic Church was not very powerful at that time, but they told him he had no right authority to go in there in Ireland and preach, and he told them, leave him alone. He baptized over 100,000 people with his own hands, by immersion, by the way. And now history comes down and superstition and mythology is rampant in the Catholic Church. Let's go back to infant baptism. Infant baptism makes every Catholic boy and girl, child, think that they have a false security because they've been baptized. The Catholic Church teaches baptism is one of the seven vehicles of grace. Baptism is not a vehicle of grace. The Catholic Church teaches that in baptism of an infant that the original sin is forgiven and they can go to heaven if they die. They will go to purgatory for a while. And purgatory is another hellish doctrine that didn't come out of the Bible either. The Catholic Church teaches that everybody, when they die, they have to go to purgatory. And they have to suffer and be cleansed in purgatory until they can go into the beatific vision or paradise. That's not what the Bible teaches. You don't get a second chance when you leave the world. You leave this world without Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you're going to the South Pole. You're going down. You're not going up. And there is no other chance after that. That's it. Right now. The Catholic Church later, not early, but later, changed the mode of baptism from immersion to sprinkling. The Bible speaks of believers' baptism only, and even the Catholic Church has godmothers and godfathers believing for the child, and then when the child comes to the age of accountability, then they have to confirm what the godmothers and godfathers. Until that age of accountability, and that confirmation, they're in dangerous ground. Now, Catholic Church in confirmation, you have to confirm that you believe in Mary, the Mother of God. That she was sinless and she had an immaculate conception. And she remained a virgin all of her life. And that she did not die, but she went up to heaven. in the Assumption of Mary. Now these doctrines evolved. They didn't all begin in 325 A.D. The Catholic Church is an evolution of lies and errors and superstition and mythology. Much of what the Catholic Church teaches is right out of paganism. Paganism. The whole priesthood is borrowed from Judaism. And the festivals, etc., the incense and all of that. Early Christians didn't do that. The early Christians didn't burn candles to saints, and the early Christians did not pray to Mary, nor anybody except God the Father through Jesus Christ, the only mediator. The Catholic Church declared Mary was co-mythrix, co-redeemer. The Bible speaks of only one kind of salvation, and that is by grace. How do you get saved? How do you become a believer? The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we all deserve hell and death, and we will all die. The Bible says, for the penalty of sin is death, but the free gift of God is to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans again, Paul writing to the church at Rome says, if you believe in your heart that God sent his son, that he died on the cross and that he was buried and raised, if you make confession with your mouth and believe in your heart, you shall be saved, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is salvation. The Catholic Church damns and anathematizes those that preach that. But that is the gospel. Hearing the gospel preached, coming under the conviction of sin, righteousness, what righteousness is, and judgment, is the first step toward salvation. Salvation is a punctiliar, absolute, instantaneous action. Because when you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth to God that Jesus Christ is Lord, repenting of your sins, at that very particular second, nanosecond, you are born again. And when you're born again, you begin to start leading a regenerated lifestyle. We all sin after we're saved. We do that. I remember Rory Reed one time. He was speaking to somebody, and they said if he believed in the security of the believer and once saved, always saved, he'd go out and sin all he wanted to. And Brother Reed said, yes, I sin more than I want to. More than I want to. The Lord Jesus Christ for 33 and one half years lived a righteous life. And that righteousness is placed upon us when we believe. And Jesus Christ bore the sins of all mankind on the cross of Calvary, and all of our wicked, lawless deeds. All the priests, all of the false religious leaders, he bore all of their sins on the cross of Christ. And we are covered with his righteousness when we believe. The free gift of eternal life. For God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem those under the law. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Have it. Possess it. For in grace you're having been saved through faith, and that not out of you. It is a gift of God. Faith, salvation, is a gift of God. And when God touches your soul, you become a different person. You cease being an enemy of God. But how many children that have been baptized in the Methodist Church and all the other Pentecostal churches and in the Catholic Church wander through life thinking they're okay? that does violence to them. It is a sin against them. They can't believe. The Bible teaches a believer's baptism. That's what it teaches, a believer's baptism. Romans, the 6th chapter, Titus, Paul, all talks about believer's baptism. And the moment of baptism in Romans, the 6th chapter, is a death, burial, and resurrection. We're buried with Christ in baptism. How are you going to bury somebody sprinkling on them or pouring a little water on them? There was a case of effusion one time in history. The preachers got together. This guy was dying, and he wanted to confess his sins and be baptized, and they confessed their sins right at baptism at that time in history. But the guy was so sick he couldn't go to a baptismal basin, which was a large swimming pool type of affair. Early churches were built for one reason. They had baptisms in black swimming pools. That's why churches were built, church houses. They had a baptistry in them. Not a little font where you get a little water, but a baptism. A baptistry where you dip people. They took this man, they got several bathtubs full of water, and several men, and they confessed his sins, and they dumped this water on him, all these bathtubs, so they made sure they covered him with all the water. When I baptize somebody, they're going to go under the water, aren't they, Marilyn? Remember one woman that she was afraid of the water. And I was at Valley Baptist Church. We were baptizing. We had 38 people in my Sunday school class baptized all at the same time. And I was baptizing one after another when I come to Rosalie. I come down here and I said, "Did you confess your sins? Did you repent of your sins and ask the Lord to save you?" She said, "Yes." I said, "All right, I baptize you by the authority of Valley Baptist Church. I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism." And she threw her hands up and I took her all the way to the bottom of that baptistry. Not one part of her was sticking out of that water. I didn't want a dead man's hand hanging up someplace. I know people don't practice that a lot, just get enough, kind of dip them. But I dip them. I'm a Baptist. I believe in immersing people. All of them. You don't want to go out in a graveyard and see people's hands and feet sticking up. You bury them with Christ in baptism. Baptism of children is a curse to the children. Baptism of children didn't start until the church wanted to make every person born within the Holy Roman Catholic Empire a member of the Catholic Church and the Empire, a citizen of the Empire. They had to have godmothers and godfathers because the child couldn't believe. Children that are baptized as infants sometimes live a total reprobate life. Instead of being a vehicle of grace, it's a vehicle of hell itself. Baptized individuals should live a regenerated life. Baptized individuals should look like Christians. I'm an old-fashioned Baptist preacher. I'm 70-some-odd years old. I've been preaching for more than 50 years. And when I preach, most of the time I'm wearing a shirt, a tie, and a coat, a suit. Because I think that I ought to look like a preacher when I'm preaching. Now, I preach on the ham radio. I preach out on the creek. We did probably 100 messages down here on the creek on the outdoor auditorium. And we'll have another one down there, hopefully, the Lord, if I live that long, and we can build a little shade out there next to that running creek. People complained because the creek rattled and babbled so much that it was a kind of a nuisance in the background, but I think it was kind of like background music to me, being that I'm this wild Indian that I am. Well, I'm half tame, maybe. That means I'm only half wild. I like nature. Now, baptism is for believers only. Baptism is for believers only. Infant baptism is a fallacy. Infant baptism does violence to the world because they see a lot of children that don't follow their Lord in their faith, and even a Catholic. Now, Marilyn told me, remember what you told me that one time, that you went to school with these Catholics. Mm-hmm. Now, you really like Catholicism because they didn't have divorce in Catholicism. Mm-hmm. But they had a whole lot of immorality in Catholicism, didn't they? Now, this young girl that you went to school with, she told you that she could do anything she wanted to. Is that right?
Yeah.
And all she had to do was go confess to the priest, and she would be okay. She had a license to sin. She had baby baptism. She was told that the original sin was forgiven in her, and that she could confess to the priest, and anything she did would be forgiven of her. Brethren, that is not a regenerated lifestyle. God's children are sinners. God's children do sin. But I can guarantee you one thing. As an old preacher said a few hundred years ago, a saved man may sin securely, but safely never. God is going to warm up the south end of you going north. And I can guarantee you that much. If you want to live that kind of lifestyle as a child of God, God may kill you or break you one way or the other. Baptism typifies that you're buried with Christ in baptism and raised in what? In newness of life. You have a new life. A different life. You have a different life. Not that you can't sin, but that you don't want to. You'll sin more than you ever want to. You will. I pray that these messages on escaping Catholicism will help you. I want to bring to you an intelligent study of God's Word and what the Bible teaches compared in verses what the Catholic Church teaches. And how that the great monstrosity, the great evil harlot, Catholicism, has damned many of its believers. I'm not saying that a Catholic can't be saved. But if you believe, if you pray to Mary, if you do all the things that the Catholic Church says for you to do, you will not go to heaven. If you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ in spite of the Catholic Church, like I did in the Holiness Church, in the Charismatic Church, you're going to get saved. But when you get saved, you're going to want to see other people saved because you know that the Catholic Church is teaching errors. A priest cannot forgive sins, and baptism is not a vehicle of grace. Neither is marriage. I pray that in this intellectual study of God's Word, God made man intelligent in his image. He made you in his sovereign image and his intelligent image, where you could choose right from wrong. So many Catholics have become atheists and agnostics because they saw the fallacy of what they believe. All it is superstition. It's superstition. They believe it. But brethren, believing something doesn't make it right. The Catholic Church puts tradition and dogma above the Scripture, and they don't want you to read the Scripture. Why would a church that says it is the bride of Christ, that is the church of God, why would that church deny you the Word of God and want you to believe their dogmas instead of that? There's only one reason for that. It's because the Bible is contrary to what they believe. The Bible is contrary to the belief of the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church, the seven sacraments that are vehicles of grace, are actually vehicles of hell and damnation. The seven sacraments from hell. We're going to study all this. Our Father, we send this message. I pray if there's one out there listening to this, that they will believe in their heart Jesus Christ died for them, that they'll understand that there is no man in this world that is a vehicle of grace or has the right to forgive sins, that baptism is not a vehicle of grace and nor should it be given to children. Father, please deal with them with your Spirit in a mighty way and use this message for your honor and your glory.